Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for waiting, and welcome to Hering's third quarter 2020 earnings conference call. We would like to inform that all participants will be on listen-only mode during the company's presentation. After the company's remarks are completed, there will be a question and answer session when further instructions will be given. Should any participant need assistance during this call, please press star zero to reach the operator. Before we proceed, I clarify that eventual statements which might be made during this conference call relative to the company's business perspectives, as well as projections, operational and financial goals, are forecasts based on the management's expectations. These expectations are highly dependent on the internal market conditions and the overall economic performance of the country and international markets, therefore, are subject to changes. With us here today in São Paulo, we have Mr. Fabio Hering, company's Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Rafael Bossolani, Chief Financial and Investor Relations Officer, and Mr. Thiago Hering, Chief Operations Officer. Management will make a brief introduction, and following will answer your questions. Now, I would like to turn the floor over to Mr. Fabio Hering. Please, Mr. Hering, you may proceed. Good morning. I'd like to greet you and thank you very much for your participation in our third quarter 2020 earnings conference call. I would like to welcome you all. This has been a very challenging year. The third quarter has proven more reassuring. We've managed to, after first semester that was very complicated with closed shops for a long time in the third quarter, over the months of July, August, and September, we had quite a positive development. We are going to have a presentation of our results and comments on the quarter, and then we're going to talk about the perspectives of the future. Moving in the fourth quarter with an outlook of an end of year much better than we recorded in the previous one. Our vision in future outlook for this moment for the Brazilian market is quite positive to us. I think we've managed to evolve a lot in the construction and the speed of our management to meet the demands of our consumers and to better meet their demands and with more speed. Our brands, Hering, Hering Kids, and Disarm, have built over this year, even with all the challenges, we've managed to get great progress regarding getting closer to our consumers. We are aware that we are going through a very complicated moment in terms of consumption in macroeconomics. The retraction has been turned into resumption that had to be quite fast, and this puts us a great challenge thinking about 2021 regarding the market agents' attitude regarding this new normality we should face. Some challenges regarding costs. I don't refer to our industry, but also this inflationary pressure that we have been observing that certainly impacts the pockets of all consumers. But all of this has not discouraged us, much on the contrary. It has created within the company a very positive perspective of our being able, through our business model, our brands, and the advances we've made in technology, in digital penetration, we've managed to get growth, increasing our market share. With this brief introduction, I would like to give the floor first to Rafael, who's going to make the presentation, and then Thiago will continue the presentation, giving further details on what happened in the third quarter, especially talking about how we're doing in the fourth quarter and future outlook. Next, as usual, we're going to be all three of us, Thiago, Rafael, and myself, will be available for a Q&A session. So, Rafael, please, you may proceed. Thank you, Fabio. Good morning, everyone. I hope you're all well and healthy. I'd like to thank you for your participation in our third quarter earnings conference call of 2020. I'd like to start commenting on the results, starting on slide number 3 of gross revenue. Gross revenue of we have a retraction of 33% versus the third quarter 2019. Over the third quarter, sales have advanced with the resumption of gradual reopening of stores. At the end of the third quarter, we had practically 100% of our stores all open. I think it's very important to highlight the instability of these openings, the service and reduced and closed and important. And this, our business like São Paulo, Belo Horizonte, Curitiba, Rio de Janeiro, etc. In addition to a drop of low and then impacting directly the performance of our physical channels. So in the beginning of the pandemic, we made a decision of canceling the summer collection that would reach the stores in end of July, early August. Our decision, in our view, quite assertive because we mitigated the risk of inventory, both for the company and our network of franchisees. I'm going to give you further details further on in the presentation. So in the sellout, the positive result in e-commerce third quarter 2020, the sales via web store grew over 160%. They totaled 50 million reais and they keep on accelerating in the subsequent months. October, this channel has had a growth of over 170% compared to the same period previous year. Our stores located mostly in shopping centers, they had a reduction in the flow, as I've mentioned, and consequently a retraction in revenues close to 40% versus the third quarter 2019. It's important to highlight the acceleration in the productivity indicators of these stores, an increase of over 5 points in our conversion rate, average ticket growing over 9%, our number of SKUs growing over 20%. Indicators of productivity quite important. Another relevant change there with positive impact to our network is the change of our go-to-market model. July, August, September, we had a showroom of the high summer collection, our last collection of the year, in 100% digital way to meet our network of franchisees and all our multi-brand clients. This showroom was quite intuitive and broadened the purchase experience of our clients. It's important to highlight that the performance of the company in October had a total growth of revenue of 16.5% vis-a-vis previous year, including sell-in and sell-out. So moving on to our slide number 4, gross profit of the company, we reached 100 million reais in the quarter. Consequently, the margin of the quarter reached 38.8%, quite important development vis-a-vis second quarter, but a retraction regarding last year. More than half of this retraction of this impact of the margin of 3.1 2% points is linked to a lower sales volume in the quarter, and consequently, our fixed costs of the plant. So that despite having a reduction of over 17%, we haven't been able to generate this leverage. It's important to highlight that the opposite effect of growth, when we grow, we manage to generate operational leverage quite large at a time of expansion of sales, especially looking ahead. In addition, we've had a lower participation in current sales because our winter collection played the role of our summer collection that was canceled to protect the business, as I've mentioned. And obviously, we've had some kind of incentives. It's worth highlighting the effect, a positive effect in our channels with a sales share of e-commerce and greater sell-out margin. So this is also a trend for us to observe. Moving on to slide number 5, operational expenses have reached 105 million reais, a reduction of approximately 11%, impacting with non-recurring items. Excluding these effects and these non-recurring items, many of them linked to the restructuring process, tax credits, and adaptation of the industry this year. Excluding those recurring items, we have a net value of 23 million, 14.7 million negative in this quarter, and positive 8.5 positive in the third quarter last year. So the company would reach an amount of 91 million of expenses in the quarter, which is a reduction of over 28% in book value. This is represented by various negotiations of occupation costs that we have been doing in our own stores. We have had reduction of expenses with personnel and sales, and it shows the results of a very austere management in terms of expenses in all the areas of the company. Our EBITDA of the quarter reached 16.7 million and 31 million when we exclude these non-recurrent effects that I've just mentioned, a margin of 12.2%. Moving to slide 6, our net income totaled 155 million reais in the third quarter this year. It's a high of 143% considering last year, and was positively impacted by some tax credits coming from funding of 178 million. So we generated an income of 72 million, considering the monetary valuation of the principal amount, and a credit of 106 million in the interest and income tax credit and social charges. As to the cash flow, we had cash flow on the quarter of over 22 million reais, practically in line with what we observed in the third quarter last year, despite the lower operating result. I think it's worth stressing that our cash flow is well managed and controlled, plus our liquidity is quite sound and comfortable. At the end of the quarter, we have a net cash flow of 292 million, even though we had made investments in a company of over 50 million. We bought 65 million in the buyback program, and we paid over 40 million in terms of dividends and interest on equity. We have been having a very focused management in preserving our liquidity and our financial soundness, and our expectations is to follow with positive cash generation in the forthcoming quarters. And lastly, in slide 7, before giving the floor to Thiago, I think it's important to highlight our inventory management. The inventory of the company in September had a drop of 2.5% vis-à-vis the previous year, with all the challenges, considering all the challenges we've faced this year. So I think it's worth highlighting good quality of the inventories we have of our finished products, that they ended up reducing almost 7% vis-à-vis previous year. More than that, we have a high concentration of our perennial articles and our current collections. 72% of finished products of high quality. So the previous collections have had a reduction of 30%, and it limits a possible need of rescheduling or repricing of the future collections. I'd like to give the floor to Thiago now, and he will add and proceed with the operating data.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. I would like to reinforce the words by our CEO. It has been a very challenging journey, and we had many steps that we had to go through. And I refer not only about 2020, with all the challenges that this pandemic brought to us, but also our major journey of cultural transformation of this centenary company. What's even more important is that we are passionate for it, and we are sure that we reach globally. It's very good to be able to count on a mix of skills in such a large team in a moment like this. It has been key, by the way, to be able to think in an unconventional way and innovate and be creative to face all the challenges that we are facing. So I would like to start strengthening the importance of the people in our company, and we are very satisfied with the team that we have. I'm going to talk about two different perspectives. I will talk a little bit about the quarter, the results, and the progresses we had. We were challenged in a very accelerated pace in innovation. We have a challenge of building this ambidextrous organization and do this in balance. We know that there are excellent opportunities here in brands and channels in our supply chain, but it's important that a company with the ambition we have and the availability of resources we have must have a very strong innovation agenda. Commenting a bit on the quarter, I think that following with this presentation in business view, we brought here in a pictorial way how we are progressing in our brands, how we are closer and closer to the customer, understanding trends, behaviors, and trying to be organic and fluid, intuitive, and connected to the customer. We believe a lot in this convergence of our proprietary style with important trends we have been noticing. We've talked about comfort a lot, that became so important, and it's something that it's ours, it's within, it has been within our purpose always. The company, since the last few years, has understood that it's important to strengthen our core, our DNA, but also modernizing and refining so that we can find in the Hering brand. This is a new moment, a new virtual cycle. We are betting on those attributes that construct our smart choice, combining quality, design, comfort, price, technology. And I understand that we have progressed a lot in all the contact points with the customer, and we have been able to increase impact, engagement, and relevance. So I bring here the first slide of this pictorial view of how herring is going to be seen in this next quarter in colors, in being light, happy, and current. We have a special place in the gift sector. We know that this is very important for the results of the fourth quarter, and we are very confident on the proposal we have, yet our partners have really engaged on it and complied with, and we'll tell you what's going to happen throughout the next quarter. We have been reinforcing the idea in the release that we have to have more contact points with the customer beyond transactional. The starting point is this unique journey, being easy to buy good products. This is only the starting point. We believe that ambition, the mission to be followed, is to go beyond the transactions, to combine content, service, and product to make a difference in customers' lives, connecting with them emotionally. We have progressed a lot in technology and in products at large, and in our competences to try to be more and more personal in relation to the experience, to have one-to-one engagement with the customers. And this is synergic to the multi-channel platform that includes not only the transactional channels, e-commerce, stores, but also all the contact points, social media, APPs, and all the places where the customer can find Herring and their brands, our brand statement. What we bring here on this next slide is how we have been evolving our contact points, bringing our value proposal, and always having as our flagship basic clothes, design, price, comfort, technology. And we find this that this is very strong and contemporaneous. I also brought our other brand here, Zarm. We are strengthening this essence of jeanswear as a starting point, and it's multiple combinations, more fashion than Herring, strengthening on jeans. We also have progressed a lot, look and feel and contact points. It is a brand where the most revenue is in multi-brand, and it should stay like that. But it's also important that we use all the channels that we have available in order to increase the relevance and the wish for the brand and present the brand for our clients. And we're very close to our partners so that they are also ambassadors of this brand. We have just launched a new purchase experience, a new concept of store. The main role is to present the brand and connect the customer with the product in a digital way. The store is born over the channel from beginning to the end with infinite rack, easy to buy, and with a selection of products that's quite special with all its attributes emphasized. We also recently on the brand did change the platform. We migrated, and not only in performance, but also as important contact point for a brand that has this vocation of being sold also in wholesales. And you should follow us in social media. We have advanced a lot, and we are generating connection and being more personal in communication in order to increase our engagement on those communities and those medias. Going on and bringing data from the channels on slide 13, we are in an accelerated pace in e-commerce, changing a level at every quarter, maintaining our growth levels. And here we bring our growth in the third quarter aligned with the previous one, and also opening physical stores, almost all of them. And we also bring a view of October with some percentage growth, which shows that our goal, our mission that was stipulated, we are on the proper pathway. In the last call, we brought most important leverages. Many of them have progressed a lot in the last 3 months, and we understand that there are additional opportunities to be captured. What, of course, will reinforce our conviction that we will translate a percentage of around 20% of revenue in terms of penetration digital channel. Today, without the base of revenue being stabilized, although we're close to it, but the plan for 2021 is still stands, and we are positively surprised and confident that every type of initiative that we have been practicing has been given interesting results. We had an initial catch-up to do with some benchmarks, and we were able to do that. And now we have a new avenue to walk through. It's important to paint in yellow that we have invested in long tail assortment, etc., improving our e-commerce. And this level of availability will be potentialized by the omni-channel. And we had an important percentage, or a beginning percentage. And now we have 16% of omni-channel in our total sales for e-commerce. And we intend to double this, connecting more stores and progressing with our hub operations. The first hubs have given back their report. They have their operations are stable. They are important to push forward e-commerce sales. And we have very clearly in strategy, we have progress in marketplace with the segments, and we intend to increase our margin of customers and not wear our customers. And we also have progressed a lot in e-experience to improve conversion indicators to understand the customer's pains. And we brought a study that's quite clear and evident. We are constructing, solidifying a culture of being really focused on the client. And we have been discussing this indicator on a daily basis, not only the score, but also all the questions, pains, and actions that come from this quantitative survey, quantitative and qualitative. And in this sense, important progress was made. And there are other agendas that we have to overcome and that will bring better return. The e-commerce indicators are at very good levels, 1.75% conversion with peak of up to 4%. We understand that we are above benchmark, but not where we want to be, where all those initiatives that I have reported on wearability and the journey itself will have a positive effect on that indication. In relation to the second quarter, we decreased 1 day and delivery time with express delivery. And we have been working, looking at our operation center. We migrated from Blumenau to Goiás, and we plugged there in August. And this has helped us in the operation. And we decreased the time it takes to deliver the products. We still have a good flow of our customers inside, 45% new clients in this quarter, and also repurchasing too, pushed by a digital product that we have, which is PowerCatch, that is quite interesting, has a good return on investment that's quite interesting. We had some oscillation in NOS of e-commerce. It's in an ascending curve for logistics, deliveries, and wearability. Much of this was dealt with throughout the quarter, always in a continuous agenda, and we are absolutely paying attention to that. And it's always good to mention the potential of this omni-channel customer that has 2.5 times frequency, almost three times average spend. So quite a customer that comes back. And to amplify this experience for them has given us excellent results, as you can see on slide 13. And now slide 14, we bring here some of the digital channels that have been developed throughout this period, not only to increase digital penetration, but also to go around the pandemic's problems and take the store to the customer. All these products will be continued developed, and above all, to guarantee safe experience, seamless experience in this quarter where we have high flow events like Black Friday and Christmas. We are being prepared in a very intense way, quite diligently. So I want to mention social selling. We have more than 2,000 salespeople. They are franchise, multi-brands, just persons, ambassadors of the brand, and salespeople that use that do it that full time or not, and also WhatsApp smart sales. This training has been key while the stores were closed to generate revenue for the franchisees and all the other channels. And this still goes on, taking the store to the customer in a digital, safe way, agile way. Our partners can generate their portfolio, digital portfolio. And with that, we have more than 8,000 services a month. And it's interesting that it has this combination of the facility of digital journey with the help of the salesperson on the other end. And it returned productivity indicators that are quite interesting. So a very good 11% average conversion, 500% above e-commerce, and average ticket 21% above the store. So this combination of digital resource with the help of the salesperson has been giving us very interesting indicators. Our APP is being developed, and we have gone very deep on this journey to really create an APP that's useful and often used. It's going to be launched this month before the Black Friday, and we will also launch our loyalty program, which is synergic. The list of benefits and services of loyalty is an important stimulus for the people to comply or to come back to the app. So this is one more contact point, not only for transactions, but also to generate content, interact, to give tips of presents, recommendations of what to buy, all type of interaction with the customer. And as soon as it's launched, I'll bring more details for you. And also the last thing I wanna talk about is how much we have been progressing, not only in marketplace in and out, looking at specialized ones, but I reinforce looking for to bring a new client, and also a marketplace that will show our category how good we are in talking about our partners, translating a solution from head to toe and broadening our tail, and with that bringing more productivity. Talking about sellout from the stores, the Hering network, we have in the trimester minus 10.4, and I have in this quarter 6.6 plus. We had 3 years, consecutive years, that were always growing, and we brought here also what October data 5.2, and it's worth it, an additional disclosure, because our performance in 4Q19 was disappointing. And we had controversial moments then throughout that quarter. So it's important to bring that 19 as against October was 5.4. We're talking about 5.2 and as compared to 5.4 last year. So on that same slide, number 15, we emphasize, we bring in the map of Brazil per region, not only our percentage in revenue, because this is a data of market. North and Northeast have been doing better. In those regions, we have been always have a double digit data. We are penetrating on those regions. We're much concentrated in the Southeast, and that has impact. It deflates there. It's also important to emphasize that we have huge challenge in in recovering flow, especially in Southeast and in shopping malls. And on the other hand, we bring a positive scenario in productivity. We grew more than 20% in our persons per service, and we brought more items to the basket, and that has to do with product allocation and the mix, but also with the merchandising journey to facilitate customers' lives so that they can find important items in an easy way and really use their time in the store. We also had expressive growth in the conversion rate, more than 5%, and also average ticket. If we were increasing our personal service plus decrease in mean price and average ticket, which is a combination of both, we also increased almost 10%.
On slide 16, on the sell-in sales performance, we have done all the go-to-market events considering sell-out until December. And what we have seen is the recovery of the partners of sell-out at the very end, above estimates. They have been recovering the level of confidence of partners and with quite positive impact in the recent events. The number informed on net revenue of October of over 16.5% reflects an initial allocation for the period. We are confident. Projections show quite positive outlook of growth in the third quarter regarding 2019 in total net revenue, not at the level of October because of the inventory allocation. And of course, we have inventory for the year end, and we are quite positive regarding the view outlook of the quarter. And I'm sure we're going to talk about this shortly in the S&OP agenda. For the showroom, I think it's worth highlighting that it certainly is 100% digital showroom. This has been translating a lower cost, more agility, time to market that is smaller,
What's
improving assertiveness,
S&OP?
and we have been observing that is very aligned in a physical showroom, and it's been attracting over 6,000 clients in each one of the blocks. And I think it's very interesting to have this wealth of data that this brings in the B2B vision. It's possible to make recommendations, to have the product at the time, to see slow movers, the potential sell-in, and their trolleys. What was finalized is quite a lot of data in this B2C journey. In the digital, we have also in the B2B. And the same, even though skeptical customers and partners have been adhering at every showroom, every event, more strongly to the digital showroom. Definitely, it's a tool that remains, and it's fundamental for us to reduce time to market and improve collection assertiveness to plan demand and better serve our B2B and B2C customers, obviously with the right product at the right time and the right place. And lastly, on slide 17, we have our expansion plan wide open. We are very much in line with the 130 openings that were communicated in the previous release. And we have 97 already open, 21 approved, and 2 under construction. So we are very much on track with our plan. Worth highlighting that not only the openings and the number of conversions of multi-brand, seeing a lot of value in this know-how transfer. We see the first positive effects of this management in the channel in a more integrated fashion, and looking at customers trying to increase their productivity and not cannibalizing the regions with new customers. And I think it's worth sharing productivity data. So a light franchise with the stores we've been monitoring the first cycle, they have been showing 20-25% in the sales and productivity. They have a light CapEx and customized assortment. They have been bringing sales per square meter of 14,000 per, considering the zones they take up. It's quite interesting, good productivity, because those stores have on average about 6.5% of total occupation cost. So it seems to be quite a promising plan in the expansion agenda with good management of geo-marketing, understanding well all the zones with no cannibalization, growing in an orderly fashion and correctly. We understand that this combination in the expansion agenda of the mega stores that are sizing of the current repositioning physical stores, bringing an experience center, one-stop shop with complete assortment, and being a distribution hub and consolidating the e-commerce environment, combined with the capillarity that is obtained from the expansion of compact formats in the correct zones. So it has undoubtedly exponential outreach, so ensuring our national footprint capillarity, even in regions where digital penetration is still an issue, especially because of the challenge of the last period. Well, I would close the presentation and let us address the other topics during the Q&A. Thank you, and we proceed. Thank you. We are now going to start the Q&A session. If you have a question, please press star one. To withdraw your question from the list, please press star two. We should remind you that this conference call is exclusive for investors and market analysts. Possible questions from journalists should be forwarded to Mrs. Marina Ricciardi of Press Relations through phone 11-97375-9687, or in the following email, marina.ricciardi@cierang.com.br. Our first question comes from Mrs. Helena Villares from Itaú Bank. Ms. Helena. Hi, folks. Thank you for answering my question. Actually, we wanted to better understand on the more normalized scenario, trying to better understand the discussion we had early this year before the pandemic regarding the multi-brand channel that you were generating more integration, putting a sales point that you or sell out that can read inventories, understand the product assertiveness in this point. What about that? What about this project? What has moved forward during the pandemic? What do you intend to follow on in 2021? You also had a similar project, better developed for franchises. If you could give us an update regarding this part, I think it would be very helpful. Thank you.
Helena, this is Thiago. On multi-brand, yes, we had major developments during the pandemic. We completed a project that was for some years going back and forth in client segmentation. We had a very clear view of profile segmentation, how to address needs in different customer clusters. We have been measuring not only in part the bigger clusters, the systems integration, sell out, the evolution of inventory. We've been observing on site to see the evolution of our footage, the gain of share, not only by footage, but also sell out. We've been observing productivity gains cluster by cluster, similar to what I've just reported on the conversion of the brand cluster. The conversion of that I've mentioned, it's an indication that the journey has been accomplished. The great focus of the multi-brand management is the customer cycle, how we little by little transfer know-how, support them on the sellout to get a virtuous circle to create loyalty and improving the footprint of Hering until we have a final conversion on the light franchise or basic shopping, well, using the available menu. I think we have evolved a lot in terms of indicators in the customer's vision of data, segmentation of customers, in the reorganization of our team to meet and to take part of this new model of service. There are new skills of product vision, trade, merchandising, less relational. I think we've had great change in our team and roles and responsibilities. We are much closer to our greater potential customers and focusing on improving their productivity in the areas occupied and focusing attention on white zones. This doesn't mean that we expect to have the entrance of new customers, but we've been developing new tools to develop the agenda of customer acquisition so that we can actually attract customers that can actually grow in the ecosystem of our multi-brand and moving clusters. And we have goals to revisit client ranking, and this is a clear indication that they're gaining productivity and their partnership with Hering is more important to them. During the digital showroom, we are able to be more direct in recommendations, share more data to translate in more homogeneous way from north to south. The strategy of point of sales, the management of pyramid, best sellers, and obviously customizing always the recommendations for this channel that has its own features. Since we've also adjusted incentive policies so that we could actually promote productivity, and we have a new stage at the re-signification of the representative, not extension, so that they can translate, so that as our team can have more assertiveness in sellout and trading. And in franchise, the design of the model for sellout vision, operations support, and support franchisees and productivity gains is very evolved in its implementation, not complete. It's a continuous development, and each day we have new needs. This year, I believe we've become closer. There is more frequency because there's a need to support financially, to help in the expense management, in the crisis management. But today we have very well established relationships. So we have metrics in terms of store performance. Our field team is designed and totally focused on improving same-store sales and improving footage and availability channels. We have this day-to-day vision of all indicators, and we have been working relentlessly with all franchisees. So everything is linked to sell out, not no longer sell in, which obviously creates an additional encouragement and brings a greater obligation of franchisees to maintain appropriate levels of the net CLA, SLA of availability, and a good execution of strategy in the point of sales. All the digital interactions have been facilitated this greatly because we can create greater homogeneity in communications to make more information available and data as well, and make more assertive communication. The final idea is to integrate. I'm quite skeptical regarding divided multi-brand and franchise. You have to have experts, but you have to understand that there is a single journal that has to be integrated. It cannot be just a crazy race of who gets faster to the white zone. We have to be in the right place, right time, integrating all our B2B channels so that customers become small with a shelf, with a curve products, increasing assortment, maturing the relationship with the company so that we can have at the end an exclusive format. And at the end of the day, we'll have more money for the company and more profitability for the operator. Thank you very much. Very clear. Our next question is from Mr. João Soares from Citibank. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for your presentation. I have a couple of questions here. The first, I'd like to know a bit more about Black Friday. So you have a previous reality of last year. What are you thinking about the strategy of what you did last year to ensure that the sales of the event are not so heavy on December and impact seasonality within the quarter? And the second question is, you've mentioned that you have high quality inventory management. So you've equalized this issue of inventory. If we add to sales of October, we can assume perhaps that looking, can you think about the gross margin not only improving, but can you think about a better margin year over year? Thank you. Well, this is Thiago. On Black Friday, we've been working intensely. We've organized multidisciplinary teams to design the best journey, best strategy for Black Friday and Christmas, not only considering the behavior of the previous years and the typical hangover we get post Black Friday, but also considering the restrictions and the risks that the pandemic has brought in potential high flow of events, considering agglomeration. We've been working in all fronts, in the design, the merchandising strategy, product vision, assortment, and also we've been working on operations, vision merchandising, how to set up the store with a high inflow, with a lower permanence time without impacting productivity indicators. It's worth highlighting that we're looking at a 45-day horizon. The peak Black Friday, second fortnight of November, quite challenging from the standpoint of that hangover, and the peak of the Christmas event this year, well, there is a certain uncertainty regarding behavior of clients. So we're trying to balance off best way revenue over these three periods. avoiding cannibalizing key category in Black Friday, which are major revenue drivers in December. So knowing quite well what call for offers and what to activate in Black Friday, all these events, we have to take the store to our clients by our e-commerce, our omni services, all the digital channels that I've presented here that remove the attrition of the journey and actually bypass the adversities brought by the pandemic. But we're quite confident on the strategy, the way it's being set up, and this continuous evolution the team has been bringing. Increasingly in detail, we're confident and prepared. All our CRM strategy is also very much supported in creating incentives for the client for the return of customers first half of December, bringing customers to colder zones. And I cannot give you the full disclosure here, but this 360 of the strategy is very well set up. If we serve the execution well, we're going to have a better balance of revenue over these three fortnights without cannibalization of key categories and creating to the customer a safe environment, no attrition journey in the physical store on the website, and all contact points between the website and the physical store with all the digital products we've developed.
In relation to margins and inventory, and here I look at merchandising, I believe that's well known. Our market has had quite some challenges in relation to inventory because of lack of raw material and redimensioning of the logistic network. And we have put lots of efforts in this agenda. And we are well administering it, and we are hopeful for the end of the year. And that does not put so much pressure in the markdown lack. And we have reduced a lot sales of surplus. The graph that Rafael showed represents the quality of the inventory and how perennial it is. So it's much more on how we challenge the productive chain in order to have a good allocation for the channels and have adequate availability. I would say that we can, yes, say that the perspective of advancing and gross margin and recovering our early figures, we will be as the 4Q19 in this indicator. And only adding on top of what Thiago said on margin, and has been mentioned that the quality of inventory indicates a low need for new prices. And in this quarter, we had a gross margin that suffered because of the sales volume. So we had to decrease physical costs. This was more than half of the impact we had in the margin. However, we see a good evolution of this indicator from the second to the third quarter. This is a factor that's quite important. We have a mission to put this inflation into balance, as Thiago mentioned, especially in our most important raw materials, threads, etc. For the coming period, we have been studying our strategy for prices, always guaranteeing our position, being competitive, and our value proposal. Our business, as you know, is highly leveraged. As we rescue our growth of top line, we generate operational leveraging in the plants. And our overhead is about 20% of our cost. As we accelerate top line, the gross margin will also be expanded. for 2020, as Thiago said, we usually have a run rate of gross margin around 45%-44%, and this year it should be close to 40%, much of the because of the fixed price. But also we had the idleness problem. When you look at the fourth Q, our margin is very close to our historical data, and there may be some expansion actually when we look at our product matrix and the performance of sell-out. I think that only to summarize, we have this challenge of inflation impacting on EBITDA, and we also have the issue of our sell-out that has better gross margin in e-commerce and other channels, and because of the levers that I mentioned. So we will have pressure on gross margin looking forward, and we are thinking about many actions to mitigate this pressure in our results.
Thank you, Thiago. Something important is this increase in the price of raw material. How does this affect the prices of the market at large? Do you see this? Do you see more sales? How is this going? Do you see any changes as far as that is concerned?
We have seen very spread movements, diffuse movements, not in a material way. We have seen a price adjustment and the sales price. We have seen a promotional dynamics that's strong, was strong in the beginning of the third quarter because of the end of wintertime here, and now we're going to go into a promotional cycle because of Black Friday. As Rafael mentioned, we have a stance until the end of December. The worst challenge will be in 2021. We have been discussing our plan for the fall, for instance. The good news is that we have to challenge our supply chain. That's important. We recently started an ambitious project to redesign the supply chain, and we want to gain efficacy in cost, and we have all the pieces of this puzzle in order to find the best solution of local supply, especially when the exchange rates are as they are. This is important if we can have those parts. We have a project that's up and running quite accelerated for that. As Bossolani mentioned, we have perspective of mix that's higher. Sell-out will help in gross margin, and we redimensioned our plant during pandemic, and that will not come back, so that will leverage promotional aspects. The set of actions will mitigate risks and impact on margin, but the market scenario is challenging, especially for 2021, and especially in regarding to raw material because the inflation is really impacting.
Thank you so much for the answers. Thank you.
Our next question comes from Mrs. Olivia from J.P. Morgan.
Hi all, good morning. Thank you for the opportunity. I would like to talk about expenses. We have talked about gross margin franchisees. When we look at expenses, we see much savings, and we see how much this is structural and the initiatives of efficiency that you have been taking, and how much that will come back when we have a marketing that's a little bit more aligned with the market. Thank you.
Hi, Olivia. This is Rafael Bossolani. It's worth emphasizing that we put much effort on the third quarter, and we have been doing that throughout this year to manage and give priority to all the aspects of the company. So we reduced 28% our operational expenses that are recurrent in nominal values, and we reduced expenses of all sorts. On agreements, renegotiating, restructuring the areas, etc. So much of these reductions are punctual, but we restructured. We had structural reductions that should be taken forward for the coming periods because of the change in behaviors and habits. I can mention some examples. Our showroom is virtual, it used to be physical. Our trips will fall drastically because of the new way of relating. We tackled structures, we optimized our São Paulo headquarters, we closed plants. So within this mix of reduction, we have much structural reduction. So that we should note on the coming quarter, we should have even more reduction, not as important as the ones we had, but around 5-10%, since we are still negotiating agreements, etc. So the message is that in moments that are more difficult, we cut expenses and other costs, but we also have a new way of managing. So for 21, we'll intend to keep a structure of costs that is aligned with our business growth, but always looking for productivity gains in order to allow to invest in business, optimizing costs to mitigate our inflation pressure. And yes, I believe so. We should have a shift between our type of expenses, but we had structural changes that should last for the coming periods. I would also like to emphasize two additional points in stores, and this is also for franchisees. We are being careful as far as negotiations of occupational costs, which is the highest expense. Even for the fourth quarter, we expect for October and November, we achieve discounts around 25% in the occupational costs, what gave us more balance in the physical channels and impacts also for the franchisees. The franchisees, following our plan of crisis management, found other ways of gaining in productivity in the operational expenses. And we have been reinforcing how important it is to maintain this austerity level and maintain quality and service, of course. And our network is quite compliant to this idea. And I also want to paint in yellow this broad project of redesigning our supply chain. It has an important front of strategic store that will give us important gain in DRE. Our next question comes from Gabriela Katayama from UBS Bank. Hi, thank you for answering my question. My first question is on supply chain in relation to push and pull. Do you know when you're going to implement that? And can that make you rethink the collection cycle? more often, smaller, and especially because now you can have the digital showroom, so it's easier to change that in multi-brand especially. And second, the shopping mall opportunities. Are you looking for better agreements, cheaper agreements? And how are the negotiations of revenue share? Since you are increasing, how you are negotiating the collections with the shopping malls? Thank you. Thank you for your question or questions. I will go backwards, talking a little bit about the incentive system for shopping malls. We have been negotiating. I cannot give details of the agreement because that's confidential, but we are getting to a win-win solution. The focus is in the system of incentives with our partners in multi-brands. Franchising, we are re-signifying the role of this person that's in the middle. It's very important their participation because clients will become more satisfied at service level. And in this agenda, we have a consolidated environment with an incentive system that is fair, coherent, and increases the penetration of omnichannel and the addition of our partners, a collaborative view. And we have a mission of serving well the client, and we have potential gains for all the stakeholders. In negotiation with shopping malls, besides this frequent negotiation in order to try to adjust, look at indicators, to pick up productivity and performance, and have the best equation in costs. And with most of the groups, we have been able, as I mentioned before, to have a good solution, a win-win solution. And on the other hand, we have been getting closer to those groups that are better partners. We have had opportunities to expand some formats like the Megastore. We have, I don't have statistics here, but we see important vacancy. And especially in this avenue of growth, which is the mega stores, not only to increase volumes, but also to improve the brand experience and the client relationship, we have been finding good opportunities. We have finished some negotiations and others are ongoing. In the short term, we have news for you. About the logistic model, I promise I will bring in the next call a detailed method. We'll bring this in the next presentation. I don't want to bring spoilers. No matter what project agenda we have been evolving a lot in the products with a solid base of perennial items with continuity, with frequency, and the challenge is always to have them available in our channels. We have this vocation when we look at our main brand and the characteristic of the product and of the assortment. And at the same time, we want to guarantee a good level of renovation at the top of the pyramid. It has been a good exercise. The governance has been quite disciplined in this pyramid management. This has been quite clear for everybody from inside, from outside. The partners have seen the good results, this good management of product cycle of the pyramid, and has grown in terms of adhesion, our recommendation, not only the franchisees, but also the multi-brands within the necessary customizations for this channel. We have achieved gains, and something important is the evolution in system architecture, in the flow of data information. And also, an additional point that we have progress is in digitalization of the total market. decreasing that, all those previous steps for the showroom, we gained precious 3 months in this process. And when we start thinking or designing a more integrated view end to end, in time to market, as well as in the availability, we have many other gains. I just don't want to bring here an incomplete version, but we should have a roadmap. When we talk about push and pull, the challenge is in the logistic part in adapting distribution centers and partially in technological architecture. But as I said, I promised to bring the roadmap of implementation for our next meeting.
Great, very clear. Thank you. Our next question comes from Mr. Fernando from Morgan Stanley. Good afternoon. Thank you to take my question. My question I had were on the October numbers. You've mentioned that you had a 5% of total sales, that was about 6%. I had two questions about that. This percentage of 5%, does it include any kind of readjustment of restriction of personnel timing? Or when you have same store, you have a sort of base considering all the meanings? Or could you give me some flavor on the difference of the different business units in this October sales, which are growing more or less? Thank you. Fernando, Thiago speaking. Same store October has a normalized base because we have no longer weekend restrictions. Neither do we have closed stores because of the pandemic. We have a full normalized base, both in the percentage of +5.2 reported, as well as looking at the historical base. I mentioned same store of October 2019, just to give you a view of this, how easy or hard it is, just to show it how it is. Regarding the channels, breaking down franchise, multi-brand, multi-channel, B2B, we've seen a recovery that was greater in franchise, considering the resumption of same store sales or triple S in the start of the quarter. It was quite fearful. We had to work on the winter inventories, resuming sales. We wanted to assure full financial health, a good cash recovery, a good management of markdowns. And at this time, the franchise, because of the resumption above projection of triple S, came to the events with a good level of confidence, a good opening for purchase, and the initial performance in October within the after the third quarter, it was absolutely necessary. So the numbers of the franchise showed more significant growth, but multi-brand also brought in October positive numbers of growth regarding 2019. And this growth did not come from new clients of the good management of productivity, more productive clients, and a good recovery in this channel. And these 300 point of sales that we monitor sell out, they had recovered quite in line with the clusters of franchise in the same regions, typically stores in the interstates and in the cold and hot regions in multi-brand.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Since there are no more questions, I'd like to give the floor to Mr. Fabio Herring for the final remarks. Very well. I'd like to once again thank you for your participation in our conference call. It's been very clear that we're bringing a level of detail that has been increasing, considering the difficulty of having clear visibility in this such complicated year of 2020, clearly because of the pandemic. However, the company is going through a major moment in its history. In addition to having in this third quarter completed 140 years of existence, which give us great satisfaction and pride to belong to it, it brings along a moment and a new stage in building a future of growth, and we have absolute certainty that this year of 2020 brought huge challenges to all, both in the business and personal arena. This, to us, has brought demonstration of fast reaction ability and constant evolution, and we've been seeing increasingly great potential within our company in an organic way to build or to pave the way for our future construction. Completing once again, I'd like to thank you once again. Let us move on to this fourth quarter to have a much better year-end than the beginning or at the end of the third quarter, the second quarter with the pandemic. See you soon. See you next time. We are now ending Hering's company conference call, and we thank you all for your participation, and we wish you all a very nice afternoon. Thank you.